How many downloads of Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Today, the podcast show has fetched 400 million downloads since its start, and an average of 350,000 downloads per episode, about 3.9 million downloads per week.
Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Thursday. For some reason, today feels like Friday, but I know today is not Valentine's Day.
No, it isn't. That's tomorrow. Have you gotten your Valentine's stuff? Are you all set for Valentine's Day?
We're set. It's some of it's weather-dependent, you know.
Weather-dependent. I like that. You know, my cohort in crime is visiting someone in the Northeast, and they're getting snow, so he's housebound. But it could be worse, Bill. You know, I don't know how, but it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. I mean, I could be broke down in a car.
Well, you could be living in Worcester, Massachusetts. You know, you heard about Worcester? Maybe you didn't hear about Worcester. Worcester, Massachusetts, yesterday or the day before yesterday, voted to be a transgender sanctuary city. It was a 9-2 vote. I'm not going to play any audio from it because it'll just drive our audience nuts. But
so Worcester is a transgender.
Yeah, that means if you have a child that wants to have transitional surgery, you can have it done in Worcester, despite what the administration says. See, this is the thing about, in my opinion, they've got to crack down. This administration has got to crack down on sanctuary cities because what they're doing is illegal, period. End of sentence. I'm talking about any kind of sanctuary city. If the laws of the nation are such that, you know, we all have to live by them, you can't race off to some little village somewhere and that village say, well, we're a sanctuary. We don't abide by the laws. Even though we get benefits, we get funding. I mean, Worcester's going to get federal funding, you know, but they're saying, well, to heck with it. We're going to be a transgender sanctuary city. By the way, I'd be willing to bet you the people of Worcester are ticked off. This is 9-2 vote. They had people come up to the microphone and complain. Guys, you know, 6-foot guys with beards coming up with blue hair and a brassiere. And they had a 7-year-old kid. Some guy had his 7-year-old child go up and speak for the transgenders, which says to me that's child abuse. I don't care what you say. 7 years old, I don't care how brilliant that kid is. He has no clue what the heck he's talking about. But there he was.
You know, I heard in the arguments against RFK, well, you can't argue with the science. They're avoiding the science because the actuality is men are men, women are women, and that's that. That is the science.
Yeah.
Get it through your
See, I couldn't help when I was watching these people step up to the microphone in their garb. They were dressed as transgenders, and you know, they were proud of it. Mm-hmm. God bless them. But in all honesty, folks, I think what we're seeing is I think we're seeing the result of these people need mental help, I believe. This is not normal. There's some issue here that they haven't addressed in their life, and it should be addressed. And well, they're not getting the help they need.
What you got to look at is that member party of 11 people, 9-2, all right? Yeah. So that means that you've got not woke, but you've got people that have filtered in with an agenda that do not represent the majority. They represent the minority, but because they are in voting power in a minority, you know, because they collectively got together and they took jobs that you didn't want. You didn't want to go and do because you didn't want to fight for your freedoms. So you gave the rule of law to these.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the word I'm thinking. So,
activists.
So you let these activists come in, and they're on committees. They're on, city commissions and boards, and they're voting. Well, why would they do that? Because that's what they are. And well, now they're saying that's what you're going to have to live with, and that's what they want you to be.
You know, Worcester, Massachusetts, I grew up not far from Worcester. As a matter of fact, when I was a little kid, I went to summer school at Assumption Prep, which is in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talking about years and years ago. But Worcester is a proud American city. It's a good American city. Has been forever, right? They've had their ups and downs. Back in 1953, the city was decimated by a tornado in Massachusetts. Right. Can you believe that? I mean, but it's recovered and come back. And I'm sorry for the people, the ordinary Americans who live in Worcester, who I'm sure woke up to this news just as surprised as most of America did. But, you know, because most people don't pay attention to the town meetings. They don't. They just they'd mm-hmm. like to tell you they do, but they have other things to do. They come home at nighttime. They're tired. They want dinner. They take a shower. They want to watch some television, go to bed. That's all they want to do. You know, they don't want to run down to the town hall. So in the meantime, like Bill said, the activists do run down to the town hall, to the meetings, and they do crazy stuff like this.
You want to know why? They don't have jobs. They don't have lives. They don't have any responsibility.
Yep.
But they're going, well, you know, to get our way, we're going to go do what they're not doing, and we're going to take those positions, and we're going to, they don't care that they're screwing up your life because it's making them happy with the rules that they want. I'm trying to think of who is the, Ayanna Pressley.
Right, I have it right here. It's just, it's funny. You and I, Bill, are on the same page this morning, my friend.
Yeah, she wants to censor people. And
what he's saying, by the way, folks, is not a warp of what she's saying. It's exactly what she's saying. Listen to this. Listen to what she's saying.
Look, let me tell you something. I'll take a bit of umbrage here. I'll speak on behalf of my colleagues. Nothing I can say. We are all willing to work with anyone who's serious about doing the work of censoring the American people and advancing progress.
That's right.
But they are not serious.
Now, did you hear the crowd? The crowd, now, mind you, she's around a bunch of like-minded people, but the crowd almost gasped when she said that. I'm going to play it one more time. Listen.
Look, let me tell you something. I'll take a bit of umbrage here. I'll speak on behalf of my colleagues. Nothing I can say. We are all willing to work with anyone who's serious about doing the work of censoring the American people and advancing progress.
Quiet.
But
crickets.
They are not serious.
Usually that point there is where the crowd goes, yeah. No. It was like, what? Censoring American people? Even those radicals were taken back by that.
Yeah, that's communism. And, you know, when you're sitting there talking about that, I mean, that's censorship. That is the word censoring. I mean, that's communism.
Yep.
You're going to sit there, and if you view it objectionably, you sit there and go, or not objectionably. But
no, objectively, yeah, right. I know what you're saying.
Objectively, yeah. Yep. But if you're opposed to, you know, me going home and reading the Bible, well, then I'm going to censor you from doing that. You know, and if you're opposed to little boys becoming little girls, then I'm going to oppose you from doing it. And I have the power now because I'm on a city council to where I can do that. And then she wants to censor, you know, the American population. So she wants to get in your business and up your business to make it just what she wants, to get her way. And
I hope Pam Bondi is listening, because really and truly what Pam Bondi should do is put a cease and desist order from the federal government on Worcester and say, no, you can't do this. You can't break our laws because you're on the city council. The laws are national, and this is the law, and that's it, period. What you've done is void.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to take a while. Well, no, it would take an election. You sit there and say, you know what? It's time to replace this city council. You know what? All 11 of you, even the two good ones, you're fired. Get out of here.
Yep.
Don't let the door hit you on the rear end on the way out, and get some people that are center. You know, not far right of center, not far left of center, balanced, normal, everyday people. And then they need to be responsible to sit there and put out, you know, reports on a weekly or monthly basis.
When did the transgender issue become an issue in this country? It became an issue under the Biden administration. They wanted to create another group of people who were being suppressed and repressed and depressed and all the other press. They wanted to create, the left did, another minority group that had to rise up. This is nonsense, folks. This is what's next? Where are we going next? What's the next victim that they're going to create? Will it be the people who got funding from DOGE that aren't going to get the funding now? People who got funding from the government who DOGE discovered? Is that next? It could be.
Well, this goes back to the Obama administration where, you know, hey, man, love is love, you know, because there's inappropriations of funds that go back to his time that have carried forward. Biden just got to rubber stamp his policy and bring it into fruition.
And I'll bet you everybody who voted for this in Worcester, I'll bet you everyone was a Democrat. Everyone. Maybe the two were probably Republicans, the token Republicans. Yeah. I'm just saying, I know that a Republican wouldn't vote for this, just pure and simple.
Well, let's say their name was Mitch McConnell, and he would vote for but then he's not really a Republican, is he?
No, he's being spiteful, that guy. Interesting, yeah, they're trying to sell a constitutional crisis right now in this country. We talked about this yesterday, and I found a clip I wanted to play. This is an example of, they get a 4 o'clock memo, all of these Democratic activists, you know, people like representatives and just people who have influence with the media. By the way, the media gets it too. The reporters get the same memo from the Democrats, and then they all sit down and they write their stories. I want you to listen. This is what's been coming across the media recently.
We might be on the path to a constitutional crisis.
We will ask two experts about whether or not this is a constitutional crisis.
We've never faced quite the constitutional crisis that we do right now.
They are fomenting a constitutional crisis.
Yes. Are we staring down the barrel of a constitutional crisis?
This is an existential constitutional crisis.
A constitutional crisis, possibly.
The constitutional crisis alarm bells are ringing. But is anybody listening?
We're now like one subway stop from a real constitutional crisis.
We are in effect, a constitutional crisis.
Constitutional crisis. We're hearing it over and over again.
Nancy Pelosi's already said that Donald Trump is unfit for office. She said that he belongs in prison. She says that we're in a constitutional crisis. If that's not enough to begin an impeachment inquiry, then what on earth is?
Warnings of an impending constitutional crisis ripped through the nation's capital.
There are experts who are saying this is a constitutional crisis.
We are at a dangerous time in our history, a constitutional crisis that probably is the most severe moment since the Civil War.
New warnings of a constitutional crisis just weeks into Trump's second term.
And the stage is set for a constitutional crisis.
Could this signal the start of a constitutional crisis?
Legal experts say our country could be headed toward a constitutional crisis.
They're calling this a constitutional crisis.
This is a constitutional crisis.
I am unapologetic in suggesting we are in a constitutional crisis right now.
Are we already in a constitutional crisis?
Those two words, right? Constitutional crisis.
Unbelievable, folks. I mean, these people are, what they're doing, in my opinion, is treason. They're promoting a lie over and over again, you know? Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, they did this in 2017. Of course, Trump was in office. They didn't like it. So really, this came from Obama and Hillary. But you know what? I would tend to say there is a constitutional crisis. It's in the Democrat Party because they got their underwear in a knot, all of them, because they're not in power anymore. So
that was a combination of 2017 and 2025. Yeah. That wasn't just 2017. Yeah. They continued. We mentioned this yesterday, Bill. They started it in the first term, and they've picked it up in the second term. The same two words.
Well, you know, they resurrected it, but you know, they actually, I don't know, who was it? It was in the Biden administration where he sat there and he's got but there was some kind of program that he started, but it was just no more than a money laundering thing. Some 100, what is it, $1 billion that they've done, and they parked when they knew that Trump was going to be inaugurated. They offloaded some of that money so that they could get it. They were going to funnel it to Kamala and everything. It's to keep them in power. But what happened was, you, the people, defied the system and them stealing all this money.
Well, they've actually, I think that was with the EPA.
Yeah, I wanted to say that.
Lee Zeldin talked about it yesterday. He's the head of the EPA. You know, Trump's got all of his departments looking for the money, and I'm trying to find the actual cut here. Lee Zeldin. Now, the audio is not great on this. I don't know why they would release this. Obviously, it was done at his desk, but somebody who videotaped him should have listened to it before they posted it. There was a hum, and he was off in the distance. I literally had to take this piece, try to get rid of the hum as much as I could. The hum was so annoying, it was actually in part drowning him out. So anyway, I put it through some software, kind of removed a bit of the hum and cleaned him up a bit. Here's what it's, but what he's saying is important.
Hi, this is EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. One of my very top priorities at EPA is to be an excellent steward of your hard-earned tax dollars. There will be zero tolerance of any waste and abuse. An extremely disturbing video circulated 2 months ago featuring a Biden EPA political appointee talking about how they were tossing gold bars off the Titanic, rushing to get billions of your tax dollars out the door before Inauguration Day. The gold bars were tax dollars, and tossing them off the Titanic meant the Biden administration knew they were wasting it. Following this revelation, during my meetings with members of Congress, I made a very important commitment to them and to the American people, which I reiterated at my confirmation hearing that if confirmed, I would immediately get a full accounting. Fortunately, my awesome team at EPA has found the gold bars. Shockingly, roughly $20 billion of your tax dollars were parked at an outside financial institution by the Biden EPA. This scheme was the first of its kind in EPA history, and it was purposefully designed to obligate all of the money in a rush job with reduced oversight. Even further, this pot of $20 billion was awarded to just 8 entities that were then responsible for doling out your money to NGOs and others at their discretion with far less transparency. Just under $7 billion was sent to one entity. I'm sure you and I now have some of the same questions. How do these organizations decide how to allocate funding? How much money have they given out so far and to whom? Are there any former Biden EPA staffers who are now working at these entities? Let me make one thing abundantly clear. At this point, there is zero reason to suspect any wrongdoing by the bank. Here's my position as EPA administrator. The financial agent agreement with the bank needs to be instantly terminated, and the bank must immediately return all of the gold bars that the Biden administration tossed off the Titanic. EPA needs to reassume responsibility for all of these funds. We will review every penny that has gone out the door. I will be referring this matter to the Inspector General's office and will work with the Justice Department as well. The days of irresponsibly shoveling boatloads of cash to far-left activist groups in the name of environmental justice and climate equity are over. The American public deserves a more transparent and accountable government than what transpired in these past 4 years. We take our obligations under the law as seriously as it gets. I've directed my team to find your gold bars, and they found them. Now we will get them back inside of control of government as we pursue next steps. As President Trump has vowed, we are going to usher in a new golden age of American success for the citizens of every race, religion, color, and creed.
You know, I was thinking as I was playing that, because it was annoying, the audio quality. I was thinking, That could have been done by somebody in the EPA who was charged with being his, like, media person who was trying to sabotage him. Knowing if he puts a hum, knowing if the audio is so distorted that people won't air it. They won't. Go ahead.
I've noticed a lot of audio that way these days. They need to go and, again, if anybody in the Trump administration is listening, because I've heard it on Trump. I've heard microphones not work on certain people. I've heard hums, loud noises and glitches. Now, you can use AI to clean it up.
Yep.
Just so you numbskulls know that. But you need to take a look at your audio professionals. And if they have a certain sèche-choix to them or a liberal lean, and yeah, I'm being, you know,
polite.
Whatever you want to call it, politically incorrect here, but they probably don't have your agenda in mind or want to get your voice out. They want to subdue it any way we can. Listen, unground that plug over there and get that hum up.
I do not know how, you know, Lee Zeldin is busy. He's the EPA director. He probably said, okay, let's do this. He probably read the statement, got up and left his desk to do something else. And he figured whoever was videotaping him was going to have no problem. Folks, you can take a cell phone and do what Lee Zeldin just did, and it's crystal clear audio, no problems at all. So whoever, it just sounds intentional, doesn't it, Bill?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, whoever filmed that, because if he's had a microphone on a PA and he's just talking there, chances are the signal from this mic, like this microphone, do you hear a hum now? No, you don't. But you could say, I could be on a PA and go, wow, it sounds good. But then they take another feed and they go, take the ground wire off, you know?
Yeah.
Induce a little hum in that and let's make it sound bad into the recording. Okay, did you get the recording? Yeah, we got it. Didn't it sound good?
Bill, I cleaned that up. That was cleaned up. That was run through software. I had to take it and put it through EQ. And try to mess around with it to make it so you can understand what he was saying. Because it was really kind of like this. Hello, I'm Lee Zeldin. And it was unlistenable. And he released it. You know, the EPA releases this. And I'm thinking the guy who released it probably thinks, well, if it's really bad, they're not going to listen to it. We're not going to use it. We're not going to see it on Newsmax or Fox.
Mm-hmm. Look, they're using every tool that they can to suppress the voice of the right. And that even means just your typical everyday audio. You know, they will do everything that they can. And so, you know, people go, what do you guys do? What are you proving by doing what you do? Well, there's what we're doing. And you know what? We don't discriminate. If your side says something totally stupid, we make sure that that audio is crisp, clean, and clear so people can hear how stupid you are.
Yeah, which goes back
to... Everybody deserves to know and hear both sides.
Does this not go back to what Ayanna Pressley said?
Look, let me tell you something. I'll take a bit of umbrage here. I'll speak on behalf of my colleagues. I think I can say we are all willing to work with anyone who's serious about doing the work of censoring the American people and advancing progress.
Man... they have got such gonads as to say that in public. They really want to work with somebody who's willing to censor the American people. Like I said, even her crowd was like they were taken back by what she just said out loud.
Well, you know, now is it people of color?
I think she's talking about anybody who thinks differently than she does.
Yeah, she does. She is. I mean, let's be specific about that. But, you know, again, she is one that has tried to divide the races. She's not the only one that's tried to divide it. There are other, I can't think of the young lady's name, but, you know, she called, I forget what her name is. She called Trump a racist and said he's a white supremacist. And she wants reparations for having to listen to what Trump has to say. I think her name is Summer Lee, isn't that?
Yeah, that could be, yeah. Did you hear about the black voters? Black males, 40% are for what Trump is doing right now.
43%, I believe.
Yeah, 43%. All right, great. 43%. This is a big loss for the Dems, for the left. And by the way, they're not the Dems like we used to have when we were young people. I mean, this is a different. This is a socialist party now, the Democratic Party, which is unfortunate. Go ahead, Bill.
I think they're worse than socialists because you know there's center, there's leaning left, you know, there's liberal, there's socialist. These cats are way beyond that. They have gone full tilt and off the scale left. So, you know, if you listen to some of this rhetoric where they're calling us names, but yet what you just heard from Ms. Presley there of wanting to censor people. I just mentioned Summer Lee, the representative, who says that she wants reparations because Trump is in the White House.
Well, it doesn't even have to make sense anymore, friends. It doesn't even have to be logical. It doesn't have to be well thought through. Right now, they just say what they feel. I mean, I hear things coming out of the mouths of people. Was it Crockett, Representative Crockett? Was Jasmine Crockett, I believe her name is. She's on the floor of the House of Representatives in some committee hearing, and she's throwing around vulgarity, you know, like it's not a big deal.
But if I did it, I'd be called on. I'd be called out on it.
Yeah, you would be. Anyway, other things that happened yesterday. Caroline Leavitt had a press conference, and she talked about what DOGE has found. You know, the Democrats are trying to stop DOGE. All right, they're trying to remove DOGE from the political landscape. DOGE is not being, you know, Elon Musk is not being paid for doing this. Nothing. He's getting nothing from doing this. They're trying to make it sound like he's doing it for some kind of, you know, financial gain. And all DOGE is trying to do is point out where we're wasting money as a country and where we can get this money back, lower our deficit, and eventually lower our income tax, lower what you and I pay. This is what they're fighting. The Democrats are fighting this. Listen.
Earlier, the subcommittee headed by Chairman Marjorie Taylor Greene, her and her staff discovered $2.7 trillion in improper payments to Medicare, Medicaid, overseas, to people who should not have gotten it. Some of this room might have missed that press conference. Can you elaborate on what the president is thinking at this point?
Well, again, that's another example. There's a very long list of the fraud, waste, and abuse that DOGE is identifying on a daily basis. Elon Musk also talked about yesterday about Social Security payments that are going out the door for people who are no longer with us, unfortunately. I would say that is certainly fraud. There's also a lot of contracts they've identified that, just as a hypothetical example, are $1 million, but only 500,000 went out the door. So where's the rest of that cash? And so that's the thing. Those are the things that DOGE is working on every single day. And I would just remind everybody in this room, this is what President Trump campaigned on doing.
She went on to say,
in the Oval yesterday, gave us some information on that. We're just wondering if there's some proof, evidence. Is the White House willing to share evidence of those fraud claims, or can Elon Musk come to the briefing room and share material evidence of what he's talking about?
Sure. I would love for Elon Musk to come to the briefing room. That's why we had him go to the Oval Office yesterday, where I think he provided great answers. He was speaking in layman's terms, speaking common sense to all of you in the media, but also to Americans at home. But I would say especially to all of you in the media, because I think it's a real fallacy that there's this alleged lack of transparency when it comes to DOGE. President Trump and Elon Musk have been incredibly transparent on what DOGE is doing. There is an X account with the DOGE handle. They are tweeting out what they are doing on a daily basis. They have a website where they are posting the receipts of the contracts that they are reviewing and the payments that they have stopped from going out the door. The secretaries of our departments have stopped from going out the door. And I would also say that before it was Elon Musk making our government efficient and accountable, it was some unnamed bureaucrat that none of you knew. Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. He's also now one of the most highly scrutinized men in the world alongside President Trump because of what he's doing and the access that he is allowing. So there's great transparency. As for the actual receipts, we are happy to provide them. And I actually brought some today because all of you know I love to bring the receipts. We have contracts upon contracts that we can send and provide this information to you. Let me be very clear. We are not trying to hide anything. We have been incredibly transparent and we will continue to be. These are screenshots of contracts that DOGE found across our government. This is a DEI contract, $36,000 for U.S. citizenship and immigration services. That is against the president's policies and his America First agenda. This is a $3.4 million contract, a Council for Inclusive Innovation at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, Department of Commerce, another DEI contract that DOGE identified. I can continue to go through these. Oh, I love this one. $57,000 for climate change in Sri Lanka. What is this doing to continue the interests of the American people? Absolutely nothing. These are the line items across the federal government that DOGE is identifying daily. They're moving very fast. There's a lot of paper that we can show you, but we're happy to do it. This administration has been more than transparent about what DOGE is doing. And here's one of their tweets that they posted about the mine. I believe this is in Pennsylvania, where the federal employee retirement system is being processed. Did anybody know this was even happening in our country before Elon Musk talked about it in the Oval Office yesterday? A lot of Americans didn't. So we are providing transparency and accessibility on a daily basis when it comes to DOGE.
You know, it's amazing. I didn't know about that mine. I mean, I might have heard about it in passing, but I didn't know. Elon Musk said something which really... it was mind-blowing. Apparently, they can only process 10,000 people a day.
Right.
And people say, well, why is that? I mean, we live in a world of computers. Well, apparently, it has an old elevator. This mine shaft was built in 1955, and the elevator only goes so fast. It can't be sped up. So the amount of processes that it can do down below, I guess, is limited by the speed of the elevator. This isn't 2025 where everything is on the internet and can be processed in the snap of a finger.
You know these people that work in that shaft and have been working there for years. They've got to be sitting there going, well, you know, sooner or later somebody's going to catch on. So they probably sit there at the end of the day going, well, let's go get a beer because you never know. Someday is going to be our last day because they haven't updated the technology inside of the mine and they haven't updated the elevator and they've known about this for years. You put a computer in involved with that, which it's involved in a lot of processes and all kinds of everyday life. You could probably sit there and do a million times that in a second's time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what you said is true. They probably are going to a bar after work and saying, boy, what a great job this is. And I hope nobody figures this one out because if they do, we're in trouble.
Talking about a cakewalk. Yeah. We just go, you know, 30 days in the hole, baby, and we made some money. And yep. What we do in 30 days, they could do in a half a second with their computer.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is the chairman of a new subcommittee. It's the DOGE subcommittee.
Yeah.
They put out a PSA. And I'm going to play the audio from it. It's a bunch of different congressmen. I guess it started officially yesterday, but they're going to have more on it televised today. And I believe President Trump has a major press conference today about what they've found. We'll let him talk about that in a second. But first, the PSA from the DOGE subcommittee.
Over the last 20 years,
the United States government
has wasted
$2.7 trillion in improper payments.
Just last year,
$170 billion were overpayments made to dead people,
criminals,
or those no longer eligible for government programs.
Over $44 billion.
Over $44 billion. Were made in payments that could be here or not. They just don't know.
Medicare and Medicaid are the biggest contributors to improper payments.
Under the Biden administration, $764 billion went up in flames due to many factors like inaccurate record keeping or outright fraud.
By taking a deep dive into these organizations, the DOGE subcommittee can effectively eliminate the money spent by unelected bureaucrats.
Putting trillions of dollars back in the pockets of American taxpayers should not be a partisan issue.
It's our job to identify waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. We're done putting America last.
We're done putting America last.
We're done putting America last.
Americans deserve to know where their taxpayer dollars are going and how their government spends it, and that's exactly what the DOGE subcommittee is going to give them.
You know, DOGE is not going away. even though the Democrats wanted to, and they're going to try to demonize it like it's some big bad thing. It's the Department of, what's the acronym stand for? Department of Government Expenses of, I can't think of what it stands for right now, but it'll come to me. Trust me. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. But the point is, they've been put together to find your money that the government is wasting, and they're doing their job, and the left should be applauding this. But see, here's the speculation. The speculation is that a lot of people on the left have been benefiting from the fraud and the waste, and they're afraid that DOGE is going to find out their names and publish them, and they will be uncovered as the thieves that they are. As a matter of fact, this afternoon, President Trump has a press conference to announce some of the stuff that they've uncovered so far. Listen.
Should talk about widespread fraud and abuse.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous fraud. There's tremendous fraud. And it's hard to believe that you can have that kind of fraud. You're talking about, like, are you talking about what? Wait. Which are you talking? You're talking about with regard to all of the investigations that are going on about this stupidity. What we're going to do is tomorrow I'm having a news conference. I'm going to read to you some of the names that hundreds of millions and even billions of dollars have been given to. And if you tell me that we should be giving money to those things, those entities, I think you'll probably have to leave as a reporter because you're not very talented. When you look at the kind of money, billions and billions of dollars being thrown away illegally, and there's no chance. I mean, I say in front of our attorney general, there's no chance that there's not kickbacks or something going on. When you give millions and millions of dollars to somebody that stands to look at something for 15 minutes and walks away with millions of dollars, that money's coming back in some form. And that's only one form of corruption. The biggest thing is what they do to our country. They're taking massive amounts of money and spending it on items. I went through a list of 200 expenditures that were made, and I found three that looked like they were reasonable. Okay, three. And we'll be talking about that tomorrow. We have a lot of stuff, and I want to commend Elon because he's done a fantastic. He doesn't need this. You know, he's abused by you people every day. He's found more things than anybody could find. I think he's got the credibility to do it. I know he does. And it's his group of people. You know, they started off with 12. I call them 12 geniuses. They started off with 12, and they went to 20 and 25, and now they're up to almost 100. People are joining to help them because there's a massive fraud that's taking place.
By the way, it's the Department of Government Efficiency. I knew what it stood for, but I hit one of those mental mind blocks. We've all done that. But it's interesting. He's going to have a press conference today and going to talk about some of the things he's found so far. I mean, everywhere you look, they have found, was it $20 trillion or something like that, $20 billion from the EPA, but $2 trillion have been uncovered. And people may say, well, what does that mean? You're at $33 trillion in debt. Well, $2 trillion is a step in the right direction if we recover it. We are spending money like drunken sailors. And people who don't need it are benefiting from it.
Well, imagine you've got a leaky bucket, all right? And you've lost trillions of gallons of water, all right? So you sit there and you plug the leak, or at least plug most of the leak or part of the leak. You have a little bit more time to fill that water up and get yourself out of the sinkhole. You know, we've got a leaky bucket when it comes to our money, and it's not how you're spending it. You're being asked to spend more and more in taxes and the things you do and the regulations they throw on you. And they just willy-nilly spend this money, and a lot of it goes back in their pockets or goes to get them reelected, and the money is funneled to other things, or it goes to a terrorist group because it's financing something evil and nefarious, but in some way it works its way back through the financial pockets to them, whether it's the military industrial complex, whatever it is, you know, you're paying for it. And you're paying for it with your sweat, your blood, and your health.
I haven't got the audio. I couldn't download it. There was a problem. But there's an audio of Chuck Schumer saying, well, yeah, but nobody really cares about money that we waste.
Oh, he said
waste.
That a long time ago, I believe.
Yeah, he did. Well, I haven't got the audio. It wouldn't work. But and maybe that was intentional. Maybe he's trying to have it pulled down. But these people are shameless. They have a goal. The goal is to keep things the status quo because they're benefiting from it. Elon Musk said, "How can you get a $170,000 a year job and walk away at your retirement a multimillionaire? It just doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make sense." And by the way, if you did that in the private sector, you'd be arrested for embezzlement or something. But they
did something pretty wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. But you just walk away now, you know, if you're in government, no one asks you any questions. Oh, he's a multimillionaire. Yeah, he was a representative for 6 years. He's a millionaire? Oh, yeah. Well, what did he do before he got into it? He was a teacher or whatever, you know. Well, did he come from a rich family? No. No, he didn't. Just an ordinary family. But he's a millionaire today, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he was a representative. That's the kind of crap that has to stop.
Yeah, you know? How did it happen that they came upon so much money so fast?
Yep.
It's a lie. It's a scam. And that's what it is.
You know what isn't a lie?
What?
The flavor that can be found in Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. Jim and,
you know, you like how I was reading about that. And yeah, right here. It's on my screen, Right Side Coffee.
Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. It's delicious. It's a medium blend roast. And a medium blend decaf roast. We have both versions of it in case you can't have caffeine. It's a delicious cup of coffee. It's only available at rightsideshop.com. Rightsideshop.com. And you can give it to your liberal friends. Hey, don't even tell them. Maybe if you give them enough of our Right Side coffee, they'll start to change. Who knows? And we also have MAPA, M-A-P-A coffee. It's worth it just to buy that for the bag. Don't you think, Bill?
Oh, it's you know what? The bag is actually, it's an art piece. You can actually sit there and you could probably just frame it as it is. You know what? Get a plaque, get some cork board, put that in there and get some,
I agree.
You know, coffee beans and you could do pretty good.
You could frame it, put it in your living room, sit down with a good hot cup of Right Side Coffee, Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, and just spend the afternoon admiring the artwork.
Well, you know what I do with the bag, actually, honestly?
What?
I would sit there, and after I drank all the coffee, I would take the bag and open it up.
Yes.
And I'd pour some rosin in there and, you know, make it a nice hard brick and fold it over and tape shut. That way it'd be a nice paperweight, decorative paperweight on the desk. And if I disagreed with somebody said, I could throw it at them.
Well, you know what I do? You know what I do? I take it after I finished it, you know, taking all the coffee out of it, I blow it up. And I go, pop.
Yeah, there you go. But it is actually, a very nice looking bag. Some friends got some for somebody's birthday and they got it and they were all excited and they saw the bag is beautiful. I guess they got a couple of bags of it and the bag was a piece of art.
I had Juan Jose and the Border Crossers ask whether they could sing a jingle for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were singing a jingle for Right Side Coffee. Wake up on the right side with Right Side. They'll be here in a second. You'll hear it for yourself. But I said, sure, if you can figure out how to work MAPA into the lyrics.
I think they'd have to do a whole new jingle.
Well,
a whole new sound.
Well, maybe they can work on that. But they're standing here right now with instruments in hand. And with bated breath, I love that term, with bated breath.
Yeah, well, you don't want to stand around too long with your instruments in your hand.
No, you don't. Here's Juan Jose and the Border Crossers.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, guys.
I've got to have another sip of coffee after that.
Go get yourself a cup of coffee and relax. There's a big win for President Trump yesterday out of Boston, of all places. This is interesting. A federal judge yesterday lifted a pause on Trump's federal worker buyout program. That means that, you know, that offer about, you have 8 months severance and then you can leave and go your merry way. That was put on hold by an activist federal judge Well, a federal judge has reversed that. So somebody else will raise their hand. Trust me, this is how they, this is whack-a-mole with federal judges. You know, they're sticking their heads out, interrupting. I just can't get over the fact that in this country, they think that if you're a federal judge, you can control the executive branch.
I guess this is news, because maybe there's no need to elect officials anymore.
No,
we have lawyers and judges.
Yes, yeah.
So why do we need the Democrats? And I couldn't really get my head around the rule of law. Well, that's what it is, the rule of law. We have attorneys and we have judges in our pocket. Why do we need elected officials that are, appointed by the people, the public? Because we have judges, and that are Democrat appointed. And
this is a sorry situation we're living in right now. They want you to believe that they have the law on their side. And President Trump said yesterday in his press, when he was talking to the press, I abide by the law, but we have things, we're going to appeal these decisions. And I think he's doing this, and he's this confident because he knows that his people have said, Mr. President, the judges are going to be overturned. There are obstacles. But what he's afraid of, and I thought about this before he said it, was by these judges interfering like they're doing right now, it's giving the crooks a chance to clean up the crime scene. It's giving them a chance to get rid of the evidence, so to speak, put it back, put more stuff in the shredder. And that's what's happening right now because of these delays. And this is George Soros' return on his investment. You know, we wondered during the Biden administration, during Obama, we used to wonder, why is Soros so busy spending millions of dollars funding judges who, they're getting paid a much smaller fee? It's because he puts them in place and they become sleeper cells. They're sleeper cells. They go about, they do the normal stuff of a judge, and everyone says, oh, he's fine, he's wonderful. Then something major comes along, like Trump, with all of these moves to better the country and go in a different direction than what Soros wants them to go. All of a sudden, these judges raise their hand. I'm over here, and I don't like that law, so I'm going to block it because I'm a federal judge and, East Bum whatever, some small dweeb town somewhere.
I've been there before. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. So, but the thing is, this is the problem we have right now with these judges. They have no business. And by the way, true legal experts will say these judges really don't have the law on their side because there are three co-equal branches of government, executive, legislative, and judiciary. But actually, the executive branch is the most powerful. It really is one above the other two. Just not much, but it really is the most powerful. The president ultimately has the final say. That's why he has things like executive orders. He has the power. So these judges, to think that they can override his rules is, it's going to be proven, I think, ultimately to be false. But again, it goes back to what they're doing right now. They're burning and burying the evidence. The criminals are. And these judges, they say they've never taken one of these judges and prosecuted them, but maybe an example should be made of these guys who are really and truly interfering with our government. Really and truly interfering. They may do it with the nicest of robes. They may do it with the dignity of the judiciary. Oh, I'm Judge so-and-so from such and such district court. Hey. I grew up, I have to tell you, I grew up in a house that was, my father was a general practice attorney. A lot of criminal law that he practiced, he had a lot of bad guys, and he was a DA for a while. So my dad knew a lot about, and we would sit around the table talking. And I heard my dad, even back years ago, talking about some of the fatheads who are, and that was a term my father used, it was a term of endearment, some of the fatheads who were judges. These were people who were, they were using the law for their own benefit, or they didn't know the law, and they were sitting on the bench acting like they did. Some of the dumbest of the dumb were judges. I don't think that's fair, and I rule against it. Even though they may have had the law presented to them line by line, verse by verse, they don't get it, but they're judges. Anyway, I'm hoping that down the road, President Trump gets lucky. By the way, speaking of court, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Pam Bondi came out yesterday. She's suing New York. Listen. She's walking into the court here, into the press conference.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry we were a little bit late. I was in the West Wing swearing in Tulsi Gabbard, and so I just came straight back here. So thanks for being patient with us with the delay. We're here today because we have filed charges against the state of New York. We have filed charges against Kathy Hochul. We have filed charges against Letitia James and Mark Schroeder, who is with DMV. This is a new DOJ, and we are taking steps to protect Americans, American citizens, and angel moms, like the mom standing right behind me, who you're going to hear from in a moment. New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops today. As you know, we sued Illinois, and New York didn't listen. So now you're next.
So here's the thing. That's why I think that Worcester is in for a hard time, because what she's saying is, okay, Hochul and Letitia James and all these other people that she's suing, they worked not for the people of New York, but for the benefit of the illegals who were being bussed and flown there. They were given hotel rooms and given money and benefits and gift cards and all of these wonderful things. And also, the streets became less safe. The citizens of New York were hurt by the actions of their officials for allowing this to happen. You know?
Although they try to blame it on somebody else. You know, it's Trump's fault. But I think it's good. It's going to be interesting to see how they answer. They got blindsided by this, I'm pretty sure, when this all came down.
Well, I think it's going to happen, by the way, with this. We talked about the transgender thing at the top of the show. I think it's going to happen with them, too. I think that the people in Worcester are going to be in for a surprise when Bondi sues them, too, for not representing the people, but representing a minority group that really shouldn't be represented exclusively like that, to the detriment of the populace.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Remember the court, what was it, the guy that was a Biden holdover? They got fired by Trump.
Yeah, he got fired about 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and he sued and all that. And, well, apparently, an appeal, and there was appeal, after the appeal, a corrupt Obama judge allowed this guy to keep his job.
She's raised her head before that judge. Judge has interfered. She's done it more than once. And this is a case of judge shopping. The left will go after a judge who's on their side and ask for a favor, you know.
Yeah, well, because they probably have a list of judges, you know, in their little Rolodex. Okay, go to this one. If that one doesn't do it, you know, last chance, this guy will for sure do it, or this gal will for sure do it. So they're beholden, you know, for their job, and it's a permanent job, which this has got to stop with these judges.
It does. It really does. It'll be interesting to see that. You know, it's hard to believe, folks. This is crazy, but I think it's 3 weeks that he's been president. This coming Monday, mm-hmm. I believe. This is amazing stuff. It feels like he's been president for about 2 years already. He's done more in 3 weeks than most presidents will do in 6 months or a year. I mean, I don't know whether you heard about this or not, but yesterday he had a long conversation, an hour and a half conversation with Vladimir Putin.
I was going to go to that, yeah.
Yeah, and Putin said, hey, we definitely want to talk about peace. We'd love to have you come to Moscow. So he put out an invitation to President Trump to come on to Moscow. We'll talk about it. These are different times. So Trump is doing a lot. I mean, he's got the people. He had the King of Jordan. I don't know if you saw this or not. The King of Jordan was in a press conference with President Trump, and mm-hmm. I don't think they discussed this before the press conference started. But President Trump was talking about how he was pretty confident that the country of Jordan was going to allow refugees from Gaza to come into Jordan, and they might be able to build a community. And as he's talking, the king of Jordan has a nervous twitch, eye twitch. You know, he blinks hard
when every time he talks. Yeah.
And he was doing it big time when Trump was saying this, because I think he was a little surprised and blindsided. But I'll tell you what it got him to commit to taking 2,000 children, refugee children from Gaza, into Jordan for health and humanitarian purposes. So Trump, you know, he knows how to negotiate and bargain. He'll use whatever tool he has to get what he needs to get.
Yeah, and you know, they're committed longtime friends. How true that is, I don't know, but you know, they've known each other for a long time.
Yep.
And they respect each other for a long time, and they're both players in the game, and they get what they want. You hear about Omar?
Ilhan Omar, yeah.
Ilhan Omar, yeah, apparently.
Guy wants to get rid of her.
Brandon Gill is floating around now the idea that he's trying to get people to sign up on it to arrest her and deport her for treason.
You know what she's done? She married her brother so he could get a green card.
So she could, she's really, in my mind, she's an illegal representative.
Right.
She was a plant to begin with. What he wants to do is bring her up on treason charges because they're training. She's you know, spearheaded these training camps for Somalians for all kinds of activism. So it's time for, you know, her to go home.
Yes.
Because she's, you know, there's video after video out there of her, you know, wanting to just sit there and do everything she can to screw America.
She's one of the people, by the way, who said it's a constitutional crisis. She wouldn't know the Constitution if she tripped over it, okay?
Yeah. Well, she's teaching people how to evade ICE and deportation.
Yep.
She goes back to Somalia all the time, and she goes, my allegiance is to Somalia. No, you took an oath to the United States.
Yeah, that's true.
But what she's doing is counter-United States and pro-Somalia. That's treason. That means
what amazes me is she fits so well into the Democratic Party right now because she's not alone. She's surrounded by like-minded traitors, in my opinion. You know, Elizabeth Warren.
And what do they call it? You know, Lizzie Baby is not of right mind. But you know what? These people need to all be. But you need to start with someone like her and just work your way down the list. And maybe some of these, you know, Elizabeth Warren's might sit there and go, this axe is going to swing this way. Maybe I need to get my ducks in a row because I'll tell you what, she's not far off.
Scott Jennings is the lone voice of conservatism on CNN. The other day he was at a round table surrounded by a bunch of leftist loon calling themselves reporters. Including, by the way, remember Gretchen Carlson from Fox, the lady who sued Roger Ailes and won a lot of money, millions of dollars, for some kind of a. I think she was. She said she was sexually assaulted by Roger Ailes or something. I forgot exactly what happened, but she's made an appearance on CNN and she showed the fact that she is really and truly not a conservative, but a liberal. Listen.
Well, I think there's a difference between saying whether you're complying with the law and then you have these individual district court judges setting effectively broad federal policy that is specifically reserved for the president of the United States. I think we do have a constitutional crisis, and it's being caused by these judges. They're not here to tell us how to spend the money. They're not here to set broad federal policy. That is the president's job as elected by the people. These judges are supposed to be settling discrete, specific matters, not policy setting. I think Vance is right. I think Trump has a point, and these judges want nothing more to continue the lawfare against Trump.
I don't think anybody's in the executive branch saying, no, I don't feel like it, and the courts say you have to comply.
Well, my answer to that simply is It is the executive branch's job to figure out how to spend money once it is appropriated by Congress. And sometimes they spend money that's not been appropriated. But the correct political control is between the executive and the Congress,
I want to return to that.
When there are not repercussions, you get away with
it. I get it. You want individual federal judges who hate Donald Trump.
No, I don't.
To tie him up for 4 years.
No, I don't.
If you want a big policy question decided, let the Supreme Court do it. But in the interim, the executive has to be allowed to govern.
Am I wrong about that?
Well, you're supposed to comply, but Scott's absolutely right in that the court cannot say you have to spend these dollars today. So as a governor, I dealt with this. We got things challenged in state court and federal court. It's all judge shopped, by the way. Judges don't randomly get these cases. There's a reason that these cases are filed in Boston, the Boston court, or
Rhode
certain
Island.
District, Rhode Island, because they know they're going to get a judge.
You raise the right point. Yeah. Should the president,
should he have to share
the presidency with 300 district court judges? No, absolutely not.
But the point, though, you made a really good point that there have been judges that shut down some of President Biden's executive actions, and they understand, the Biden administration understood that
he ignored the
checks and balances.
The Supreme Court tried to stop me, but they never will.
But not in the way that Donald Trump
said. Who said that? Joe Biden.
He actually didn't ignore it.
He did. Continue to plow forward with student loan forgiveness.
Let me set the record on
that.
I hated the student loan forgiveness policy. I thought it was a unconstitutional. I predicted it would get struck down. It did get struck down, and I applauded. He did not ignore it, though. He went and tried under a different law.
So he ignored
it.
That's not ignoring it.
But let me just understand where you stand. If a district court judge rules in a way that the president dislikes, should the president listen or should the president defy?
If a district court judge tries to usurp the authority of the chief executive of this country, he should absolutely defy it. There's a difference between broad policy decisions and discrete disputes between parties. That's the difference. If I want a policy decided, I'll take it to the Supreme Court. What about checks and balances? So you're saying that a judge should decide how and when money is spent
for years, not the president of the United States? Scott, let me explain the...
You're a governor,
a little bit
you know.
More. Let me explain it a little bit more slowly. A judge is saying...
You don't have to talk to me like that.
Congress...
I have a position on this, and you have an opinion. We can disagree.
Yeah, but I'm saying, listen to me, because you're not listening. And you're making claims that are not connected to the facts. The judge is saying Congress appropriated a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
We need to litigate this.
Okay.
While we litigate this, we're going to put a hold on the actions that you took that might be unconstitutional.
So while we litigate this, I'm a judge, and I'm in charge of the executive branch, and you're not, forget it. I totally disagree.
You can't compel the executive branch to spend the dollars. You can't do that. The judges are going to start writing the checks.
No matter who the president is, the duly elected chief executive of this country, they should not be sharing the broad plenary powers of the presidency with 300 individual district court judges. That is not what the people want.
That is a great position to take when you are in power.
Yeah, I will believe it no matter what.
When you are not in power.
Okay, I got to tell you something. Scott Jennings is right on the money. He is right on the money. You cannot allow judges to govern from the bench and control the rulings of the executive branch. You can't do it. It would be like every ruling that the president issues is subject to some federal judge saying, "Nah, I don't want the roads paved. No, I don't want the roads paved. Not that's too much money. I'm going to deny that." Essentially, that's the kind of thing that they're doing right now. They are interfering with governance, period.
Right.
And I think that Jennings, to hear the leftist talking to him, one of the ladies talked down to him, I'll speak slower. Oh, man.
Well, they do that. They talk down to you. They talk over you. They interrupt you. That's what the left does, because if they can stifle you from making your point, then their job is done. And they have a whole different way of looking at things, regardless of what side of the line that they're on, you know, whether they're in power or not in power. They believe it's their way or no way.
Anderson Cooper, for example, was talking with former Governor Sununu from New Hampshire, and Governor Sununu was trying to make a point it irritated Anderson Cooper. You got to hear how Anderson Cooper responded. Listen.
It was surreal, but I got to tell you, I know what you're not showing here. Musk gave seven specific examples off the top of his head of where the corruption and fraud were. I know you didn't play the clips. He was talking about a contractor that had a three-month contract. He was paid for 20 years. He was talking about welfare benefits that were being paid to someone that was technically 150 years old. He was talking about line items in the Treasury that had no justification.
There's no he doesn't present any actual evidence.
Well, he's standing there in the Oval Office. Do you expect him to come in with 10,000 pages? And I have to be clear, to complain about this administration about transparency, when this president takes open questions on a daily basis, yet Joe Biden didn't show up for a press conference in 6 months, is insane. Well, these guys are being extremely transparent. They don't have to sit there and take the questions, but they do. That's all on the website. It's all out there.
It's not transparency to say things that have no factual background. I mean, to say we're cutting, you know, we've found $1 billion or $1 trillion in waste with no specifics, that's just talk. That's not transparency.
It's 23 days in here, guys. 23 days. You were talking about $2.3 billion that was saved last year. These guys are saving $2.3 billion a day.
Right, but
it's incredible.
That's what they're saying. But where's the
again,
proof?
You're waiting. You're not going to be satisfied till he shows up with 10,000 pages.
He's giving very specific things.
Yes, he's giving.
But he's not actually giving any evidence of that.
It's all going to come because what they also said was, if we have to go to Congress, we'll go to Congress.
Right, but
we'll show where
some of the details that have come out, like the $59 million spent on luxury hotels. It's actually not.
Talking about the FEMA money that was abused for migrants. FEMA money for migrants, that's okay now?
No, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's okay. Don't put words in my mouth.
So would you stop that? Would you stop that process?
Don't be a dick. What I'm saying is the portrayal by him is...
You hear what he said? Don't be a dick. I mean, this is
on... It might excite him.
On CNN, he didn't have an intellectual response, so he just figured he'd nail him. One other thing I wanted to play for you, I don't know that you heard this or not, Bill. Tom Holman was being asked about the Pope's opinion about what's happening with our border situation. And Tom Holman had a very interesting response. Tom Holman is the, as you know, border czar. And listen to what he said.
I got how it's worked for the Pope. Pope won't fix the Catholic Church. I'm saying this as a lifelong Catholic. I was baptized Catholic. I was First Communion is a Catholic. Confirmation is a Catholic. You ought to fix the Catholic Church and concentrate on his work and leave border enforcement to us. He wants to attack us from securing our border. He's got a wall around the Vatican, does he not? So he's got a wall around to protect his people and himself, but we can't have a wall around the United States. So I wish he'd stick to the Catholic Church and fix that and leave border enforcement to us.
I wish he'd stick to the Catholic Church and fix that and leave border enforcement to us. I love that. He says, as a lifelong Catholic and a former altar boy, he said. So I think Tom Holman speaks for a lot of Catholics around the world. My friend, one more mention of our coffee, Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, available right now at rightsideshop.com. Rightsideshop.com. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, also Mappa Coffee. It's delicious. You got to try some. It's too late to get it for Valentine's Day, but, you know, maybe you could give your loved one a heart with and you can write on it, Right Side Coffee coming soon. And you put that in the card, you know, and then when the package comes, you just give it to the person that you love, and there's your gift, Right Side Coffee. And we also have Juan.
It actually gets there pretty quick.
It does. It does. We also have Juan Jose and the Border Crossers. They're always here to sing for us, and they're here to sing for us right now, guys.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee. My friend, I'm just about done. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
I was just briefly looking over the notes. It looks like we've gone through pretty much everything. I think we've got pretty much everything today. It's going to be interesting, though. Tulsi sworn in last night. She cleared yesterday, maybe RFK today. But, I would venture to say you're going to be hearing stuff from her very soon.
Yeah.
You know, I know that they're going after Kennedy full press, you know, but I guess his vote comes up today because all I hear is all kinds of... It's going to be down party lines again.
How do you think Cash is going to do? He's coming up after Kennedy, I think. Cash Patel.
I think he's going to do all right. I think he'll do well. If there was one that was in contention, it was going to be Tulsi.
Yeah, they said she had a tough road to hoe when she came up after it was Pam Bondi, I believe. They were saying, "Oh, I don't think Tulsi's going to get it. She's got a lot of people talking negative things about her." By the way, Mitch McConnell, you know, he does that out of spite. Here's a guy who's made millions off of government, part of the deep state, and he's on his way out the door. He doesn't like Trump, and Trump doesn't like him. So this wasn't a matter of not liking Tulsi, folks. This was Mitch McConnell sticking his thumb to his nose and giving it to President Trump, if you know what I mean.
There was one headline that did catch my eye. We didn't talk about it, and that was the Cincinnati Children's Hospital. They denied a heart transplant to a 12-year-old girl because she was not vaccinated against COVID. What does that have to do with the heart transplant? Oh, by the way, she's related to J.D. Vance.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing.
Does that have anything to do with it too?
This is the kind of nonsense we're going to be running into. It's okay for the left to do it to the right, by the way. And the people who are arguing with you politically will point to things like that. See, you know, but if you push back on them, if you push back and argue with them, they will call you names. You know, you're a racist, you're a Nazi, you're a bigot. They throw all of the worst words out there. By the way, I don't believe most of these people who are throwing those adjectives out don't know what a racist is, definitely don't know what a Nazi is. National Socialist Party of the, you know, of Germany. Mm-hmm. They don't know what a Nazi is. They just know that it's a term they can throw out and it hurts. And that's why they throw it out at people. Anyway,
I didn't know that you could be denied any medical treatment because you didn't get the COVID shot. Now, the girl didn't get the shot because, you know, religious beliefs, the non-denominational Christians, you know, and either way, they didn't get the vaccine. And they don't get flu shots either. But how does that preclude you from getting, you know, the heart transplant that she's eligible for, she deserves, she's on and is there. Not going to give it to her. I don't think it's those two. I think it's just a dig at J.D. Vance.
I got a question for you. We're 3 weeks into Trump's term, right, almost?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, UPMC, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, all of a sudden UPMC Hospital puts a mask mandate in place again. All of a sudden, in order to go into the hospital, you have to wear a mask. Mind you, I think they're the only one in the country doing this right now. Is it political or is it for real?
You know, maybe the virus is for real, but maybe it seems funny, the timing of it and the release of it and the mandates, because, look at the damage it did to our economy and our psychological welfare.
Oh, our children. Our children. I have grandchildren who were in high school at the time, and they suffered terribly from it.
Go back to the transgender thing. You know, when you put kids in masks, they can't communicate. There's an identity problem. There's all kinds of things that go on to their psyche. And, you know, maybe that's part of it. And this is... this mask mandate, you know, I got a thought on that.
They also say masks don't work. I've heard so many people say who are knowledgeable with the science will say they really don't work. It's like throwing sand through a chain link fence.
Follow the science, but you got to get the shot. Well, let me tell you something. You know, they'll argue otherwise, but a lot of people have died from the COVID shot, and you can't show me proof positive that it saved anybody or anything. But I can tell you this, people seem to do better with natural immunity, herd immunity, than they can with taking a flu shot. Now, I'm saying certain flu shots are good, but when they sit there and say, okay, you take this flu shot and you're good for this virus, well, what it does is it negates your body's own, you know, process of building up immunities.
Bill, don't you find it unusual that one of the biggest hospitals in our country, UPMC Medical Center, and it is one of the biggest in the country, announces this mask mandate on the day that they're going to vote for RFK, for the Health and Human Services position?
I don't think so. I think it was a planned. It's a form of protest.
Yeah,
I
do too.
And they're going, oh yeah, well look at this.
Yep.
And that's just what they're doing. I mean, there's more to come from the left, and they're going to attack. And you know, there's going to be a lot of things out there. You know, you got the, which I find interesting. You know, I was seeing commercials and some up in Canada. And they're going, well, we're going to get our poultry now from Canada. Well, you know, usually when there's a virus that goes through the birds, you know, it's all over the place. It doesn't know border boundaries, but this flu does.
Yeah.
And we've killed all of our chickens and we've destroyed all the eggs, you know, because they all got the bird flu. You know, what's that going to do to the, you know, the Chick-fil-A and the Kentucky Fried Chicken? You're not going to be able to get the bird. You're getting the bird, all right, but
yeah.
or eggs. Well, you can get them from Canada, so we got to lower the tariffs. Really? They can choke in their chickens.
You know, Biden, his administration ordered the destruction of like 100 million chickens during his administration.
Well, Hochul just did it in New York.
It will take 23 weeks for a chick to develop into a chicken large enough to lay eggs. So for, what, half a year at least, we have to deal with this problem, almost half a year?
Okay, the farmers are ordered to kill their birds.
Right.
So they got to do it. Your income is derived from that. What does that do to you?
They probably get some kind of subsidy from the government, which means it probably comes from you and I. So, again, this goes to what you just said. We're getting the bird one way or the other. The
but
taxpayer.
Then why, you know, it's effective everywhere. It's affecting everywhere, but it's only in the United States. It's not affecting Canadians. Well, we can get our stuff from Canada, but we got to lower those tariffs.
We could go on and on. Hey, listen, I'm done, my friend. We will have a lot to talk about tomorrow because the president has a press conference, big press conference today.
Oh, it's going to be big time today. And you know what? You're going to see some liberal judges come out of the woodwork to file all kinds of stuff today.
Absolutely agree. So if you like today's show, you love tomorrow's too. Have yourself a great day, my friends. I'm done.
Well, I'm done too, so there's only one thing left to do. If you're at a Worcester City Council meeting and they have a vote, you're probably not going to like it, and you'll just have to go, hasta la vista, baby, we're out of here.
This is CRN America.